Next paragraph, 82nd chapter. Subject, Lord Krishna and Balaram meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Once upon a time, when Lord Krishna and Balaram were living peacefully in their great city of Dwarka, there was a great occasion of full covering solar eclipse, as it takes place at the end of every kalpa for one day of Lord Brahma. At the end of every kalpa, the sun becomes covered by great clouds. The incessant rain covered the lower planetary system up to Svargaloka. As usual, by astronomical calculation, people was informed about this great eclipse prior to its taking place. Therefore, all men and women decided to assemble at the holy place of Kurukshetra, known as Samanta Panchak. The Samanta Panchak pilgrimage is celebrated because at this place, Lord Parshuram performed great sacrifices after his killing Kshatriyas for 21 times. Lord Parshuram killed all the Kshatriyas, and the accumulated blood of the Kshatriyas was flowing like a stream. Lord Parshuram digged 5 big lakes at this place, and all the blood was reserved there. Lord Parshuram is Vishnu Tattva, as stated in the Ishvapanishad. Vishnu Tattva cannot be contaminated by any painful activity. But still, Lord Parshuram, although he is fully powerful and uncontaminated, still, in order to exhibit his ideal character, he performed great sacrifices at this place for atoning his so-called sinful activities in killing the Kshatriyas. By this example of Lord Parshuram, it is established the performance of killing art, although it is sometimes necessary, is not good. Even Lord Parshuram considered himself responsible for the sinful acts of killing the Kshatriyas. If Lord Parshuram becomes responsible for killing, how much we are responsible for such abominable acts without any sanction. Therefore, killing of living entities is prohibited from time immemorial all over the world. Therefore, taking the advantage of this solar eclipse, all important persons from every direction of Bharatvarsha visited this holy place of pilgrimage on the occasion. Two of the important personalities are mentioned as follows, such as Akrura, Vasudev, Ugrasen. Amongst the elderly persons and amongst the youngsters, there were Gada, Pradyumna, Shambha, and many other members of the Yadunā dynasty came there with a view to make atonement of their sinful activity in course of discharging respective duties. Because all the members of the Yadunā dynasty came there, some important personalities like the son of Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and the commander-in-chief of the Yadunā dynasty, Kritavarma, they remained back in the city of Dwarka, along with Suchandra, Shuka, Saran, for protection of the city. All the members of the Yadunā dynasty are naturally very beautiful. But still, on these occasions, when they appeared, duly decorated with gold necklace, flower garland, dressed in valuable clothing, and properly armed, their respective weapons, their natural beauty, personality became 100 times enhanced. And the beautiful members of the Yadu dynasty came there along with their gorgeously decorated chariots resembling the aeroplanes of the demigod, big horses moving like the waves of the ocean, sturdy and stalwart elephants moving like the clouds in the sky, beautiful palanquins for carrying their wives, by beautiful men resembling the features of the Vidyadharas. All this assembly looks so beautiful, as if the demigods from heaven were present on that occasion. All the members of the Yadu dynasty, after arriving in Kurukshetra, took their bath ceremoniously with self-control, as they are enjoined in the Shastras, and observed fasting the whole period as long as the eclipse existed, in order to nullify the sinful reaction on account of the eclipse. It is a Vedic custom also to give in charity as much as possible during the eclipse hours, and the members of the Yadu dynasty distributed in charity many hundreds of cows to the Brahmin. All those cows were fully decorated with nice dress and ornaments. The special feature of these cows were that they had golden ankle bells and had flower garlands on their necks. Then after the liberation of the eclipse, all the members of the Yadu dynasty again took their bath in the lakes created by Lord Parshuram. After this, they fed sumptuously the Brahmins with first-class cooked foodstuff, all prepared in butter. According to Vedic system, there are two classes of foodstuff. One is called raw foodstuff and the other is called cooked foodstuff. Raw foodstuff does not mean raw vegetables or raw grains, but raw foodstuff means boiled in water, and cooked foodstuff means made in ghee. Chapati, dal, rice, ordinary vegetables, they are called raw vegetables, as well as fruits and salads, they are taken into raw foodstuff. But when there are puris, kachoris, samosa, sweet balls, and like that, they are called cooked foodstuff. All the Brahmins invited on that occasion by the members of the Yadu dynasty were fed sumptuously with cooked foodstuff. These ceremonial functions performed by the members of the Yadu dynasty resemble exactly like the ritualistic performances performed by the Kurmis. When a Kurmi performs some ritual ceremony, his ambition is sense gratification, which means a good position, good wife, good house, good children, good wealth. But the ambition of the members of the Yadu dynasty was different. Their ambition was to perpetual faith and devotion to Krishna. All the members of the Yadu dynasty, they were great devotees. As such, they were given the chance of associating with Lord Krishna after many, many births, accumulation of pious activities. As such, they are going to take bath in the pilgrimage of Kurukshetra, all observing the regulative principle on account of solar eclipse, or feeding the Brahmins. With all these activities, they simply thought of devotion to Krishna. Their ideal worshipable Lord is Krishna and nobody else. This way, after feeding the Brahmins, it is the custom to take their permission. Then the host can accept prasadam. In that way, all the members of the Yadu dynasty took their lunch. Then all of them selected some resting place underneath a big trees because of their shadows. And when they had taken rest sufficiently, they became prepared to receive visitors. Among whom there were relatives, friends, and many subordinate kings and rulers. Amongst them, there were the rulers of the Matsya province, Usinad province, Kaushal province, Vidarbha province, Kuru province, and Sinjaya province, Kamboj province, Kaikeya province, Madras province, Kunti province, Anartha, province, Kerala province, and similarly of many other countries and provinces. Some of them belong to the opposite party, and some of them were friends also. But above all of them, visitors from Vrindavan were most prominent. Taking this advantage of solar eclipse, all the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were simply living in great anxiety on account of separation from Krishna and Balaram. All of them came to see their life and soul, Krishna and Balaram. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were very much well-wisher and intimate friends of the Jodhu dynasty. This meeting of the two parties after long separation was very much touching incident. Both of them felt so much pleasure while meeting and talking together that it was simply an unique scene. Because they met after long separation, all of them were so jubilant as if their heart was throbbing. Their face appeared to be just freshly fructified lotus flower. There were drops of tears from their eyes. Their hairs on the body stood up. Because of their extreme ecstasy, practically, they could not speak for the time being. In other words, they began to dive in the ocean of happiness. While the male members were meeting in that way, the female members also meeting one another exactly in the same mental situation. The women were embracing each other in great friendship, smiling very mildly, looking one another with great affection. When they were embracing each other by their arms, the saffron and kumkum spread on their breast were being exchanged on the breast of the other, and thus all of them felt heavenly ecstasy. By such embracing of heart to heart, and torrents of tears were gliding down their cheeks. According to the different position of ages, the juniors were offering obeisances to the elders, and the elders were offering their blessings to the juniors. Thus, welcoming one another, they were asking about their respective auspicity. But at the end, in all their talkings, all of them were talking of Krishna only. Actually, they were members of Lord Krishna's pastimes in this world. As such, all their activities, although appearing material and social, but center of activity was Krishna. And because Krishna was the center of all their activities, whatever they performed, either social, political, religious, or conventional, all of them were transcendental. The real upliftment of human life is resting on knowledge and renunciation. So as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, that a devotional service rendered to Krishna automatically produces a situation of perfect knowledge and renunciation. The members of the Jodhu dynasty family and the members of the cowherd's men in Vrindavan had fixed up their mind on Krishna. That is the symptom of all knowledge. Because their minds were always engaged in Krishna, automatically they were free from all material activities. This stage of life is called Yukta Vairag, as enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Knowledge and renunciation, therefore, do not mean dry speculation and give up our activities, but it means stop telling everything in relationship with Krishna. Next one. In this meeting, Kunti Devi, after a very, very long time, met her brother Vasudev. Vasudev also met his sister Kunti, along with their respective sons, daughter-in-laws, wives, children, and other family members. And when they talked between themselves, they forgot all their past miserable happenings of life. Kunti Devi specifically addressed her brother Vasudeva as follows. My dear brother, factually, I am very much unfortunate because none of my desires have ever been fulfilled. Otherwise, how it can happen that I have got such a saintly brother like you, perfect in all respects, and still you did not inquire about me how I was passing my days in distress condition of life, present course. It appears that Kunti Devi was remembering about her miserable days when she was banished along with her son under the mischievous plan of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Kunti Devi continued to say, my dear brother, I can understand that when providence becomes against somebody, at that time even one's nearest relative also forget him. In such condition of life, even father, mother, or one's own children also forget him. Therefore, my dear brother, I do not accuse you. Vasudev replied to his sister, my dear sister, do not be sorry in that way, and do not blame me in that way. We should always remember that all of us are only toys in the hands of the Providence. Every one of us is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under such control only, everyone acts all kinds of creative action and thereby achieves the necessary results. My dear sister, you know that we are very much harassed by the king council, and in that situation we are scattered here and there, always in full of anxiety. Now, by the grace of God, since a few days only, we are now situated in our own places by the grace of God. Quotation close, next paragraph. After this, Vasudev and Ugrasen received all the kings who came to see them amongst other visitors. The kings and rulers were sufficiently welcomed by them. All the visitors, after seeing Lord Krishna present on the spot, felt a transcendental pleasure within themselves. All of them felt a great peace in their minds. Some of the prominent visitors, like Bhishma Deva, Dronacharya, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and Gandhari, along with her sons, King Yudhishthir, along with his wife, and the Pandavas, along with Kunti, Sanjay, Vidur, Kripacharya, Kunti Bhoj, Virat, Bhishma, King Nagnajit, Purujit, Drupad, Shalya, Drishtaketu, the King of Kashi, Dhamaghosh, Vishala, King of Mithila, King of Madras, in bracket, formerly known as Madra, King of Koikeya, Judhaman, Trusharma, Pollik, along with his sons, many other rulers who were subordinate to King Yudhishthir. All of them, when they saw Lord Krishna, along with his and thousands of queens, they became fully satisfied by seeing their beauty and transcendental opulences. All of them thereafter personally visited Lord Balaram and Krishna, and thus being properly welcomed by the Lord, all of them began to glorify the members of the Yadu dynasty, specifically Krishna and Balaram. Ugrasen was the chief of them, therefore the visitors specifically addressed him as follows. Your Majesty Ugrasen, the King of the Bhojas, actually you are the only persons within this world who are perfect in all respects. All glories unto you. All glories unto you. The specific condition of your perfection is that you are always seeing Lord Krishna, who is desires to be seen by many, many mystic yogis undergoing severe austerities and penances for many, many years. All of you are in direct touch with Lord Krishna every moment. All the Vedic hymns are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. The Ganges water is considered sanctified because of its being the washed water of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Vedas are the Vedic literatures, nothing but injunctions of Lord Krishna. For the study of all Vedas, Krishna has to be known. Therefore, the words of Krishna and the message of his pastimes are always purifying the material condition of this world. By the influence of time and circumstances, all the opulences of this world became almost wiped out. But since Krishna has appeared on this planet, all auspicious features of this world have again appeared because of the touch of his lotus feet. Because of his presence, all our ambitions and desires are being gradually fulfilled. Your Majesty, the King of the Bhojas, you are related with the Jodha dynasty by matrimonial relationship. You are united with one another by family bondage also. As a result of which, you are constantly in touch with Lord Krishna, and then there is no difficulty for you for touching him, for seeing him at any time. Lord Krishna moves with you, talks with you, sits with you, rests with you, and dines with you. Apparently, you are always engaged in worldly affairs, which are considered to be the royal road to the hell. But factually, on account of Lord Krishna's presence, who is the original personality of Godhead in the Vishnu category, who is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, and all of you, simply by seeing him, immediately you are relieved from all material contamination and are situated in the transcendental position of liberation and Brahma existence. Quotation clause, next paragraph. The residents of Vrindavan, headed by Maharaj Nanda, when they heard about Krishna's presence in Kurukshetra because of the solar eclipse, therefore all the members of the Jodha dynasty were coming there. Immediately, King Nanda, accompanied by his cow horseman companion, prepared to start for Kurukshetra, loading all their necessary paraphernalia on the bullock cart, and all of them came to Kurukshetra to see their beloved sons, Lord Balaram and Krishna. And the cow horseman of Vrindavan arrived there. All the members of the Jodha dynasty became very much pleased. As soon as the members of Jodha dynasty saw the residents of Vrindavan, all to all, they stood up to welcome them. And it so appeared that they have got their life again. Both of them were very much eager to meet one another since a very long time. As such, when they actually met, each one embraced other to their heart's satisfaction and remained in that position for a considerable time. Vasudev, as soon as he saw Nanda Maharaj, practically, he jumped over him and embraced him very much feelingly. Vasudev specifically began to narrate his past history, how he was imprisoned by King Kansa, how his babies were killed by him, and how he buried Krishna immediately after his birth, the place of Nanda Maharaj, and how Krishna and Balaram were raised by Nanda Maharaj and his queen Yashoda as their own children. Similarly, Lord Balaram and Krishna also immediately embraced King Nanda and Mother Yashoda, then offered their respect to their lotus feet by bowing down. Because of their feeling affection for Nanda and Yashoda, both Lord Krishna and Balaram became choked up in their voice, and for a few seconds they could not speak how to address Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. The most fortunate, King Nanda and Mother Yashoda immediately got their sons sitting on their lap and began to embrace them full satisfaction with their arms. On account of separation from Krishna and Balaram, both King Nanda and Yashoda where man's sin spread distance since a very long time. Now are permitting them and embracing them. All their sufferings become mitigated. After this, Krishna's mother Devaki and Balaram's mother Rohini, both of them embraced mother Yashoda with their arms. Now they began to remember the most magnificent dealings.
Both mother Rohini and Devaki feelingly embraced mother Yashoda and began to address her. My dear Queen Yashoda Devi, both you and Nanda Maharaj have behaved with us in great friendship, and when we remember your activities, immediately we become overwhelmed with your friendly activities. We are so much indebted to you that even we desire to return your benediction by giving you the opulence of the King of Heaven, still it is incomparable with your friendly behavior. We cannot think of any ungrateful persons who can forget your dealings with us. We shall never forget your kindly and friendly behavior with us. When both Krishna and Balaram did not see even their real father and mother, they were entrusted under your care, and you raised them as your own children and fostered them as the birds take care of their offspring in the nest. You have fed them nicely, nourished them nicely, loved them nicely for their benefit and auspicity. You have performed so many religious ceremonies. Actually, they are not our sons. They belong to you. The Maharaj and yourself are real father and mother of Krishna Balaram. So long they were under your care, they had no even a pinch of difficulty in their living condition. They are completely out of all kinds of fear under your protection. And the most affectionate care that you have taken for them is completely befitting your position. Noble personalities like you cannot make any differentiation between your own sons and others. There cannot be any noble personality than you two, Nanda Maharaj, and yourself. Question close, next paragraph. So far the gopis of Vrindavan were concerned. From the very beginning of their life, they did not know beyond Krishna. Krishna and Balaram were their life and soul. They were so much attached to Krishna that they could not tolerate even the moment stoppage of seeing Krishna. The eyelid was checking the process. They condemned the creator of the body because the creator foolishly made the eyelids which checks seeing of Krishna. All these gopis, when they came along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda to see Krishna, that time they felt so much ecstasy of seeing Krishna because they were separated from him for so many years. Nobody can even imagine how much the gopis were anxious to see Krishna again. Therefore, as soon as Krishna became visible to the perspective of their eyes, immediately through the eyes they took up Krishna inside their heart and embraced him to their full satisfaction. Even though they were embracing Krishna within the mind, still they became ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy. So much so that for the time being they forgot themselves. The ecstatic trance which they achieved immediately simply by Krishna is impossible to achieve even by great yogis who are constantly engaged in meditation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the gopis were thus wrapped in ecstasy by embracing Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could understand that they were embracing him, and he also reciprocated the embracing as he is present in everyone's heart. Then externally, as you are sitting with Mother Yashoda, along with his other mother,
Devaki and Rani, and when the mothers were engaged in talking, he took the opportunity immediately and went to a secluded place to meet the gopis. The Lord, as soon as approached the gopis, he began to smile, and in order to encourage them, he began to say as follows. After embracing them and inquiring about their auspicity, the Lord said, within quotation, "My dear friends, you know that both Lord Balaram and myself came out of Vrindavan just to please our relatives and family members, and because of this, we were so long engaged in fighting with the enemies and were obliged to forget you, who are so much attached to me in love and affection. By this action, I can understand that I have been ungrateful to you, but still, as I know, you are so faithful and to me, may I inquire, did you think of us, although we left you behind so reluctantly? My dear gopis, do you take to your consideration that I have become ungrateful to you, and therefore you do not like to remember me? Or do you take it very seriously about my misbehavior with you? After all, you should know that our separation was not actuated by any purpose. It was ordained by Providence, who is, after all, the supreme controller. And as he desires, he causes the intermingling of different persons. Again, he disperses them as he desires. As sometimes we see that the cloud in the sky and a strong wind, due to its presence, sometimes agitates the wind. Because of this, the atomic particles of dust as well as broken pieces of cotton are intermingled together by the force of the wind. And after this, when the high blowing of wind is subsided, all the particles of dust and wool immediately become separated, and they are placed at different places. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the creator of everything. Whatever we see, they are different manifestations of His energy. By His supreme will, we are sometimes intermingled together and sometimes we are separated. Therefore, the conclusion is that we are ultimately absolutely dependent on His will. But after all, fortunately, you have developed such loving affection for me, which is the only cause to achieve the transcendental position for associating with me. Any living entity who develops such unalloyed devotional affection for me certainly at the end goes back to home, back to Godhead. In other words, unalloyed devotional service and affection for me is the cause of one's supreme liberation. My dear friends, the gopis, you may know it from me that only my energies are acting everywhere. If you take, therefore, for an example, the earthen pot, which is nothing but combination of earth, water, air, fire, and sky, is always the same physical presentation, either in the beginning or during the period of existence or after annihilation. The earthen pot, when it is created, it is made of earth, water, fire, air, and the sky. When it remains, it is the same thing, and when it is broken and annihilated, the different parts of its ingredient again becomes conserved in different parts of material energies. Similarly, either in the creation of this cosmic manifestation or its maintenance or after its dissolution, it is nothing but a different manifestation of my energy. And because of the energy being not separated from me, it is to be concluded that I am existing in everything. Exactly in the same way, the body of a living being is nothing but composition of these five elements. The living entity embodied in that material condition is also part and parcel of me. Living entity is thus imprisoned in that material condition on account of his false ego that he is the enjoyer. This false ego of the living entity is the cause of his imprisonment in material existence. Transcendental to the living entity as well as his material embodiment, I am there as the supreme absolute truth. These two energies, namely material and spiritual, are acting under my supreme control. I request you, my dear gopis, that instead of being too much afflicted, if you try to accept everything with philosophical consideration, then you will understand, dear, that you are always with me and there is no cause of lamentation for being separated with one another. Quotation clause, next paragraph. This important instruction of Lord Krishna to the gopis can be utilized by all devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. The whole philosophy is considered on the basis of inconceivable one and different simultaneously. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said by the Lord that he is present everywhere in his impersonal feature. Everything is existing in him, but still he is not in everywhere. Cosmic manifestation is nothing but display of Krishna's energy. And because the energy is not different from Krishna, nothing is different from Krishna. When this absolute consciousness is absent, or in other words, when this Krishna consciousness is absent, at that time we are separated from Krishna. Fortunately, if this Krishna consciousness is present, then we are not separated from Krishna. The process of devotional service is therefore revival of Krishna consciousness. And if the devotee is fortunate to understand that the material energy is not separated from Krishna, then he can utilize the material energy and its product in the service of the Lord. But in the absence of Krishna consciousness, the forgotten living entity, although part and parcel of Krishna, falsely puts him in the position of enjoyer of the material world. Thus he becomes complicated. Enforced by the material energy, he continues his material existence. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, that actually a living entity is being enforced by the material energy, but falsely he is thinking that he is all in all the supreme enjoyer. When he worships the deity or the form of Lord Krishna in the temple, if we thus perfectly know that the Archa Vigraha is exactly the Satchidananda Vigraha of Krishna, then our service to the temple deity is directly service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, the temple itself and the temple paraphernalia are the poster that we offer to the deity. They are also not separated from Krishna. We have to follow, therefore, rules and regulations prescribed by the acharyas. Thus, Krishna realization, even in this material existence, is fully possible under superior guidance. Gopis also, thus being instructed by Krishna in the philosophy of simultaneously one and different, remain always in Krishna consciousness and thus liberated from any material contamination. The consciousness of the living entity falsely presenting himself as the enjoyer of the material world is called Jiva Kosha, which means environment of false ego. Anyone, not only the gopis, who follows the instruction of Krishna given in this connection, becomes immediately free from this Jiva Kosha imprisonment. Or in other words, a person fully in Krishna consciousness is always liberated from the false egotism, and in full Krishna consciousness, he utilizes everything for Krishna's service and is not at any time separated from Krishna. The gopis therefore prayed to Krishna as follows, within quotation. My dear Krishna, your navel is exactly like the lotus flower.
for the original lotus flower, the birth site of Brahma, the creator, emanated from your navel. Nobody can estimate your glories or your opulence. Therefore, everything of them remains always a mystery of knowledge, even to the highest thoughtful man, known as the master of all yogic power. The conditioned soul, who is fallen in the dark well of this material existence, can take very easily the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for being delivered. The gopis continue to say, "My dear Krishna, we are always busy in our family affairs. We therefore request you that you remain within our heart as the rising sun, and that will be our greatest benediction." Present club. That's where the gopis are that always liberated souls, because they are fully in Krishna consciousness. They pretended to be entangled in household affairs in Vrindavan. On account of their separation, Krishna might have asked them to come with him to his capital city, Dwarka, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan did not like the idea. They wanted to remain busy in Vrindavan. Thusly, they could feel the presence of Krishna in every step of their living condition. Indirectly, they invited Krishna to come back to Vrindavan again. And this transcendental emotional existence is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. The Ratha Yatra festival observed by Lord Chaitanya is the emotional process of taking back Krishna to Vrindavan, where Srimati Radharani wanted to enjoy the company of Krishna. The same atmosphere that she would refuse to go with Krishna to Dwarka to enjoy his company, the atmosphere of royal opulence. Lord Krishna also, being too much attached to the gopis, he never goes away from Vrindavan. The gopis or the residents of Vrindavan remain fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Parpar of 82nd chapter, Krishna, in the matter of Lord Krishna and Balaram meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan.